Well, it has been good to be with you, although I've just been offended. Our brother said that I came from near Portsmouth. That would be like telling a Rangers supporter that he lived near Celtic's ground. But I'll forgive you this once, because it's been a real privilege to be in your home this weekend, and I do thank everybody for their kindness and fellowship. Make no bones about why I'm here this afternoon, and that's to preach the gospel. And I have a passage that I'd like to read from the Bible. If you have a Bible with you and you'd like to follow the reading, well, it's found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. If you haven't got a Bible, please don't worry. I'll try and read it as clearly as I can for you, and you'll know exactly what we're going to be speaking about this afternoon. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and right towards the end, I'm going to read from verse 46. Mark 10, verse 46. I'll read these words. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man and saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I want to be clear right at the beginning. The message of the gospel isn't to do with physical ailments, not to do with the things that are wrong with us physically. But oftentimes in the Bible, you'll find that there are characters that have a physical problem that gives us a wonderful picture of need, of desperate need. And then you can see how the Lord Jesus Christ drew near to them, and through the power of being the only unique Son of God, he was able to transform them, to change them into something they weren't, to take away the problem that they had that was so obvious. So what we see in the Bible here is a character of a blind man. Now, I'm not talking tonight that if you've got poor sight by the time you leave the door, you won't need your glasses or your contact lenses. I'm talking about something more important than that. I'm talking about where you will spend eternity. You see, just in case I get lost in my own thoughts this afternoon, I want you to understand that the message of the gospel is based entirely on the fact that we are sinners in need of salvation. You can call sin whatever you want. You can give it a different name. In fact, just reading of a blind man reminds me one time I was taking a Sunday school, a children's meeting it was, and there was a little girl, and she was blind, and she was sat right on the front row, and I'd taken along a cuddly toy. It was a little lamb. And I held this up and I said to the people that were there, I said, if I said that this tail was another leg, how many legs would this lamb have? And of course, the little girl being blind, she couldn't see it. So I just popped it into her hands so she could feel this little cuddly toy. You see her hands moving around it. So I then directed the question to her. And I said, if I told you that this tail, and I put her hand on the tail, I said, if I told you this tail was another leg, how many legs would the lamb have? And the little girl was just about to answer, and there's always a helpful sister in the meeting, isn't there? And she suddenly nursed this little girl, and she said, five. The puzzled look on the little girl's face, you couldn't measure. As she looked up into my eyes, and she said, four. I said, you're absolutely right. The fact I call the tail a leg doesn't make it a leg. It's still a tail. And you see, there are so many people today who talk about sin and they call it so many different things. They talk about minor indiscretion. They talk about a little white lie. They talk about all these things. But the Bible says what it is. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, I believe that every one of us is a sinner born in, by nature. That's what we are. And I believe there's nothing we can do about our sin ourselves. And we needed a Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven and came into this world of ours and lived as a man in this world. He lived a perfect and spotless life without sin. And I believe firmly that the Bible teaches us that he could not sin. And the Bible shows us that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world with the sole purpose of going to Calvary's cross. You see, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ went all the way to Calvary's cross and paid the price for sin in full. So that all that you and I have to do is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we can be saved. So that's what I'm talking about. And I'm going to use this character as an example of showing you somebody in their need and showing the change that can be brought by coming into contact with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just the way that this man is referred to, you would know what was wrong with him. He's called blind Bartimaeus. He's blind. You see, that's a complicated thing to understand right at the beginning, isn't it? Blind Bartimaeus. But what I want you to notice is this. The Bible shows us that blind Bartimaeus lived by the side of the road as a beggar. Because you see, in the day in which he lived, there was no help for those that had conditions like this. So he was absolutely dependent upon people to help him in any way, shape or form that they could. So he lived in a lifestyle of living by the side of the road and holding out a cup or a begging bowl of some sort and pleading with people as they went by to give him some money. I don't know if you've ever thought of it like this. There may have been people that passed by Bartimaeus and helped him every single day, but he was still blind. He couldn't take away his condition. The kindness of people couldn't take it away. There may have been people who went by and said, I'll pray for you. Religion couldn't change this man. There was only one way that he could be changed. And we come on to that in a few moments. But what I want to draw on is this. Bartimaeus lived as a beggar because he was blind. It wasn't the begging that made him blind. He lived the way he did because of what he was. And what I want us to notice, this is a real Irish statement, so you're going to have to follow it carefully. We sin because we're sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. That's a very important point to grasp. Because you see, there are so many people today, when you talk to them about the gospel, they talk about doing their best and trying their hardest and believing that they can put things right by doing good things. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, the reality of it is this. There are so many people today who think to themselves, by doing good, I can put away and put aside all the bad things I've done. There's a little boy one time, he was particularly bad. This is not me, but there's a little boy, and his father said to him, I'm sick and tired of how bad you are. What I'm going to do is every time you do something wrong, I'm going to bang a nail into the door of the shed. And you'll be able to see the pattern that emerges. So the little boy, sure enough, true to form, he carried on his conduct and he got worse and worse and the door was completely plastered with nails. Eventually he said to his father, Dad, he said, this is unfair because I'm not always bad. I do some good things. He said, okay, I'll make you a bargain. Every time you do something bad, I'll knock a nail into the door. Every time you do something good, I'll take one out. So the little boy, through effort and seeing the results of his good behavior, he tried his hardest and gradually the number of nails dwindled till one day there was none left on the door. His father was washing dishes, and for those of you children who are not sure what that is, that's when dads used to have to put on rubber gloves and put their hands into the water and wash them up after you'd eaten. He was washing the dishes and he looked out and the little boy was stood looking at the shed door and the tears were running down his face. Dad, when I said, I thought you'd be really happy. He said, no, he said, I can see where every one of them's been. You see, the reality is that you and I think we can try our hardest, and even if you could live in perfection from here on in, you cannot undo what you already are. In other words, what we are, the way we live is because of what we are. The things that we do that we regret, the things that we say that we wish we could take back, we know they're wrong. The Bible calls it sin. And you can't take that away from any one of us. So we live the way we do because of what we are. But here's the joy of this message. Somehow, somewhere, somebody told Bartimaeus that the Lord Jesus Christ was passing by. You see, here was a moment of opportunity. In fact, I think if you read on, you'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't pass this way again. And Bartimaeus, I don't know what it was that attracted Bartimaeus to the Lord Jesus Christ in a sense. But what I do know is this. He heard the message. He believed the reality of it, and he trusted that this man could change him. I can't think of a better way to express the gospel message. You hear the message. You believe in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to do exactly as he said he would do, to be the Savior of the world, to be your Savior. And Bartimaeus, as he was sat there by the highway side, the Bible says that when he came by, he cried out, "Have mercy on me." I don't know if anybody's ever described to you the difference between mercy and grace. But grace gives me what I don't deserve. And mercy saves me from what I do deserve. And that's what Bartimaeus was asking for. He was saying, "Listen, I am what I am and I can't change. And I need mercy to change me." You know, there were people there who said, "He wouldn't be interested in you. You're a blind beggar." But you know, the Bible shows us the determination of Bartimaeus, and he cries out again and again and again. Eventually, there's this wonderful expression, one of the heart-stopping moments for me in the Bible. Because I want you to understand, I believe entirely what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came into the world to be the Savior of the world. He had a plan that was defined before the world was ever created. And from the moment he came into this world, every footstep that he made, every word that he uttered, every action that he took was leading him to the place of Calvary, where he would fulfill what his Father sent him to do. This was a plan that needed so much focus. Nothing would detract him from that. The Bible says that he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He knew what was ahead of him. And yet, because of a blind beggar, he stood still. I don't know if you can grasp what that means to me, what it might mean to you. But the very Son of God himself, with the burden of the sin of the world, from a blind beggar who could only have the best that people could offer him was a few spare coins, but the Son of Glory stood still because he called him. You know, that's the reality of the Savior that I speak of this afternoon. That no matter what your condition is, the first thing is to understand what you are, a sinner in the sight of God. And then to understand that you need a Savior. You can't undo the problem by yourself. And you cry out to the Savior. And I'll tell you this. You'll know that he stands still in your life. He comes right to where you are. And he stood still, this wonderful expression. It says that he stood still and he called for the man to be brought. This was a personal call. This wasn't everybody in the room at the same time. This was a personal call to this man. But here's an amazing thing. There's a little expression there that says he cast away his garment. You know, for you and I, you know, some people get new cardigans for their birthday and all sorts of things, don't they? But you see, it would be a very difficult thing for people like that to cast away that new garment. This is a sense in which you see here with blind Bartimaeus. This garment that he had wasn't just a coat or a cloak. This was his life. You see, that was the thing that protected him from the scorching heat of the day. That was the meager thing that helped him from the rain or the cold or whatever. It was all that he had. But he had it because he was a beggar. And when the Lord Jesus Christ called him, the first thing he did was he cast away the garment. Can you see faith there? Here's somebody who believes, if I go to this man, if I go to this one who has the power, he can change me. You see, even before he got to the Savior, he knew he could be changed. He knew he didn't need that beggar's garment anymore. You see, if he had got to the Savior and the Savior couldn't do anything for him, he probably couldn't even see his way back to the garment. And even if he got back to where it was, it's unlikely it would have still have been there. But he was putting all his trust. There was nothing that would hold him back. Determined and yet focused on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he cast aside his garment and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Lord Jesus Christ asks him one of the most amazing questions in the entire Bible. We know what's wrong with this man. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ says, "What do you want me to do?" Well, Bartimaeus could have said, "Look, I've got this terrible bunion on my foot. It needs sorting out." He could have said, I was preaching this one time with my two boys, just as a little aside, and they used this expression I'm about to use, and they tease me the whole way home. I said, they could have said, could you put more money in my begging bowl than I've ever seen in my life before? And they said, he was blind, Dad. He couldn't see anyway. But this, he could have literally said, could you fill my begging bowl with enough money to last me for the rest of my life? But you know, Bartimaeus knew what his real need was. It wasn't money. Bartimaeus knew what his real need was. And that was his condition needed to be resolved. Today, I implore you to understand what your condition needs to be resolved. To understand that you need to resolve the sin issue in this life. This isn't a practice run, a dress rehearsal. This is your one bundle of life. And you have an opportunity right now to cry to the Savior, to ask for mercy, to save you from a condition you can do nothing about, to put your faith and trust entirely in the only one who is able to save. But you be sure that you make it known what it is you need to be saved from. You see, conviction and conversion, they go hand in hand. You can't separate the two. And what we see here is that the Lord Jesus Christ says to him, what will you have me to do? And he says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He just drove into the heart of the matter. He just nailed it there and then. He knew his need and he knew what he wanted. And the Bible shows us that the Lord Jesus Christ says to him, thy faith hath made thee whole. Unusual expression, isn't it? If you've never heard it before. Did his faith have some magic to it that made him not blind anymore? No, you see, I believe this is a wonderful picture of what faith does. What he had was a complete trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the ability to trust before you can fully see. And that's what you see here. The Lord Jesus Christ was saying to him, listen, it is your faith that brought you to me, the only one that is able to change your condition. It is your faith that has brought you here. And he says, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the Bible says that immediately he received his sight and followed the Lord Jesus Christ in the way. You see, there was nothing deserving of Bartimaeus. He was who he was. He couldn't change it. But the love and grace of a Savior who came right to where he was, and the cry, the feeble cry of a man who couldn't change himself, crying to the only one who was able to save. And it was faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that changed this man. You see, as Bartimaeus sat there that day and the Lord Jesus Christ walked away, he could say to him, that man changed me. I'm going to tell you a little story that makes me sound cool and makes me sound like a hero. It has nothing to do with the message, but I just feel that I need to tell you about this. We go skiing every year. That's the bit that makes me sound cool. And we come back, and we usually stay at the same hotel, and they have this pool area. And at the corner of it, there's like a jacuzzi. It's a posh thing with bubbles and all sorts. And when you're old and fat like me, and you get back after skiing all day, you sit in that jacuzzi, and it just soothes all your aching bones and muscles and so on and so forth. I was there one day, and it's like a step down and a step down into the pool. And there was a little tiny tot there. He was barely walking, so goodness only knows what age he was. He wasn't talking, but lots of people were passing by and seeing the fun that this little one was having, and he was quite an attraction to everybody. And he was walking round on the little step beside his dad. I don't know what it was, but something distracted my attention. I looked away, and when I looked back, his father was looking in the same direction, but I couldn't see the little boy. This is the hero bit coming out. Couldn't see the little boy. It disappeared. And then suddenly I realized that what I could see in the middle of the pool was two little hands. And I realized that what he had done is he had stepped back and stepped into the pool, and he was out of his depth. You see, he could do nothing about his condition. And he needed somebody who had the ability to be right where he was. So I just reached forward, lifted him out, he coughed and spluttered a couple of times, and I handed him back to his dad. Thought nothing more of it. His father thanked me and thought nothing more of it. And as I got out of the pool, this is what he said to a little boy who couldn't talk. He said, that man saved your life. That little boy couldn't explain the physics of why he was sinking. He couldn't explain why he couldn't swim. But he did know he'd been rescued from a condition that he could do nothing about. You see, a child can understand what that means. You know, my mind goes back to the character in the Bible of Barabbas. And I've often thought about Barabbas, and I've often thought about the position that he was in. Because you see, just imagine the last moments of Barabbas' time that are recorded for us in the Bible. You could see that here was a man who was guilty of murder and insurrection, and he had been tried and he had been judged, and he was guilty. So he had been put in prison and he was awaiting his execution. And there's Barabbas sitting, waiting for the time. And the morning came, and suddenly he hears the marching of the soldiers' footprints along the corridor as they come towards him. He hears the key in the door, and he hears the lock open, and he hears the door creaking, and he sees a Roman soldier filling the doorway. And suddenly he hears the voice, that the words that he dreaded for many, many days, months, weeks, I don't know. But he hears Barabbas. And he stands trembling to his feet as he waits to go to be led out for execution, when suddenly he hears this: "You're free to go. You're free to go." How can I go free? Well, somebody else is going to take the place that you had on the cross. Oh, he must be the most evil, wicked person that has ever lived if he's going to take my place. No, the truth is, Barabbas, they've tried him several times and they can find no fault in this man. Have you ever thought, where did Barabbas go? If that was you, what would you have done? I'll tell you what I'd have done. I'd have wanted to see that man. I'd just out of intrigue even, I'd long to go there, and I'd think to myself, I would stand at the distance, and maybe Barabbas did, I don't know. But you see, as they raised that cross up high, Barabbas could look at the way that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on the cross. Barabbas could see the way that they treated that man. And Barabbas could say, because of that man, I go free. That's the gospel message, you know. Because of the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ lived that spotless and perfect life, despite the condition that I am in, because of his great love for me, I can go free. You can't be cured of your sin. No, you have your sin removed. As far as the east is from the west. And what we understand in the gospel message is this: it is the cry of a helpless, hopeless soul that causes the Savior to stand still, that brings you to the time when you understand he died on Calvary's cross for me. Don't be too critical of Barabbas, will you? Because I wonder if you've ever stood at that and looked at that cross. And I wonder if you've ever thought about that man on the cross. And I wonder if you've ever realized that because of you, he suffered all that pain. Because of you, he went through those hours of darkness that were hidden from human thought and mind. I wonder if you realize that because of you, he died to be the only Savior of sinners. It's been an amazing privilege to talk to you about my Savior. And I trust and pray tonight that he would be your Savior too. I'm not rushing away straight afterwards, and if there's anything I've said that you'd like to ask me about, hey, I'd be delighted to spend some time with you and talk that through with you. Please, sometimes when you hear the gospel message, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 10th time, who knows, sometimes the gospel message can make more questions than gives you answers. That's not a bad thing. The bad thing is if you don't ask the questions. So before you go today, make sure if there's a burden on your heart or a question in your mind, make sure you ask the question. I don't know, have all the answers, I'll admit that. But what I do know is this, that there is only one way of salvation, and that is through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. He died for you. Shall we just close in prayer?